Our Old Testament reading this morning comes from Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 to 9. And here we see a man who was willing to lay down his life to serve his God and to learn from him. It's like God was saying to Joshua, "You believe in me and follow me, and I will show you great and marvelous things that I can do." And Joshua grew up under the leadership of Moses. He saw firsthand the power of God. Most importantly, he was a faithful servant who learnt well. God called him and commissioned him to lead the Israelites across the Jordan River and into the promised land of Canaan. Thank you. Ray?
Thank you. The page 313 in your pew Bible. And I was thinking about Joshua and realised he's probably a man of at least 70 years of age. He's no spring chicken, as the saying goes. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea, towards the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage. For to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. And then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Amen, amen.
Thank you, Ray. What a message for this man, as Ray said, probably around about 70 years of age. Be strong and courageous. And isn't that the message for each one of us today? Be strong and courageous. Have faith and believe and trust in our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, for he will do marvellous things with our lives. It's interesting here that Joshua led them to the river where God held the waters back for them to cross. And if you turn to Joshua 3, verses 14 to 16, there we read, "So it was when the people set out from their camp to cross over the Jordan River, with the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people, and as those who bore the Ark came to the Jordan, and the feet of the priests who bore the Ark dipped in the edge of the water, for the Jordan overflows all its banks during the whole time of harvest." So God wasn't going to hold the waters back and then say, "Righto, march through." They had to show their faith in God, load themselves up with all the gear ready to cross the river. The priests had to have the ark upon their shoulders ready, and they had to walk down and dip their foot in the water, that the waters, verse 16, which came down from upstream stood still and rose in a heap very far away, at Adam, the city that is beside Zaratan. So the waters that went down into the sea of the Arabah, the salt sea, failed and were cut off, and the people crossed over opposite Jericho. That's the power of God, the power of the God that we serve today. God promises to give success and protection to Joshua as he leads his people. Be strong and courageous. For these promises to be fulfilled, God asks him to be strong and courageous and observe God's law. Meditate on it day and night. Do not turn away to the right or to the left, but stay true. This request has echoed from this time down through the ages to every believer who walks on this earth today. And for that person, all the glories of heaven are waiting them. Are waiting them. Well, let's leave it there and turn to our next hymn, hymn number 377. Come to the Saviour, make no delay. This evening's service, by the way, is going to be a DVD on the marvellous miracles of God in the creation of the universe and of our Saviour. It'll be centred on that and on our Saviour Jesus Christ. I think it's a tremendous message there this afternoon, and the DVD goes for about a bit over 40 minutes, just over, not long over half an hour. So I would invite you wholeheartedly to come and join with us as we worship this evening and have a meal together and share together. Now please, if you can, please turn to Hebrews 3, chapter 3, verses 12 to 15. The warning here is against a hardened heart, and we've been crossing the Jordan, crossing the Red Sea and going into the wilderness for 40 years because God is warning us against having a hardened heart like the Jews when they come across the Red Sea. We have had a warning already in chapter 2 of Hebrews, a warning against neglect, of not worrying or caring about the teaching of Scripture. A true heart of faith is required of us today. A true heart of faith is required of us today for every day of our life. This is not just an outward appearance of Christianity, but an everyday devotion to our Lord and our Saviour. Therefore, as promised, to spend eternity with our Saviour in God's rest in heaven. In heaven. Let's read 3 verses 12 to 15. The writer of Hebrews is not holding back here. He's really seeking to search the heart of every Christian to make sure that we are settled in our decision to follow Christ, that we're clear on what we think about our walk with our Lord. Beware, brethren, verse 12, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. While it is said, Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. As in the rebellion. We have become partakers of Christ. Remember Hebrews chapter 2, verse 11. For both he who sanctifies, it says, and those who are being sanctified are all of one. Jesus sanctifies, we are being sanctified, we are being made fit for heaven, we are all one. For which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Not ashamed to call them brethren. But we have to beware of unbelief in our hearts. The oneness of our Lord and his believing people, this is the divine side coming from our Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is faithful. Christ will not be shaken. God's word, Christ's words are true and faithful. The problem is on the human side. In Hebrews 2, if we move on a couple of verses, in verse 14 it says, "Inasmuch then as the children," that's us, "have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself," Jesus Christ, "likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is, the devil." So in other words, God stooped from the holiness and the majesty of heaven to become as one of us, mere men and women, sinners on this earth. Jesus came to take on flesh and blood. He remained sinless. Satan could not tempt him. Remember the 40 days in the desert when Satan came to him and offered him bread. Jesus remained sinless, but he took on flesh and blood. He felt all the things we felt, or feel rather. He knew how to cry. He knew how to laugh. And he bled. Christ, what we need to understand here, Christ has entered into perfect fellowship with us in all that we are. In all that we are. Remember when he went back to Nazareth and he stood up in the front of the synagogue there and began to open the words of Scripture and read them. And the crowd in the synagogue said, "Isn't he the son of Joseph, a carpenter's son? And aren't his family all of these named off the family?" They scoffed and mocked at him. "He's a carpenter's son. How can he get up there and talk like that?" This is where Jesus was born. Jesus suffered the same as we suffer today as being Christians, followers of Jesus Christ. He took on our life. He took on our death. It became his. And this became evident at Bethlehem when he took on flesh as a baby. And we, like him, need to work on ourselves. We need to put to death the old man of sin. The old man of sin. And live with him in the Spirit. And Paul goes to great lengths to talk about this. "The things I want to do," he said, "them I don't do. The things I don't want to do, them I find myself doing." That is the flesh taking over the spirit. And then Paul goes on to say, "And who's going to save me from this body of death?" And then he says, "I thank God for Jesus Christ." And we're in the same body. We're covered in flesh. We're covered in temptation. See, feel and touch. When we become partakers of Christ, we become partakers of Christ in the spirit, or spiritually. And in our spirit, in our heart, we enter into perfect fellowship with him. And that is when we give him total reign over our life. Total reign over our life. In all he was and all that he is, his death and his life become ours. Jesus took on flesh so he could become our sacrifice, the sacrificial Lamb of God. When he rose from the grave, he ascended back to heaven. What is he back in heaven? He's our high priest back in heaven. He's the mediator between God and man. He's our advocate before the throne of grace. "I died for them. They are mine." His death and his life become ours. We are born again spiritually. Spiritually, we still look the same. Outwardly, we're the same. When we cut, we bleed. When we hurt, we cry. When we hear something funny, we might laugh. And so our life goes on the same. But inside, in our heart, in our soul, we're born again spiritually. We are partakers of Jesus Christ. What a mystery. And it is a mystery, because we have all these atheists running around the world today, and many of them are getting much airtime on our radios and on our televisions, saying that man designed all this and we've come from out of the water 65 million years ago and we've done all these marvellous things. This is the heart of man, the hardened heart of man, seeking to find some other way to glorify himself than through Jesus Christ and our God and Father, creator of the world. This is the mystery that we know today through the scriptures, that we understand the truth of scripture, what God wants us to know. We can look around the world today and we can see all the signs leading up to his second coming. We don't know when it is. No one knows the day. But we can see the signs. We can see the hatred for Israel. We know that so many of Israel today, the Israelites, have no worship of the Messiah. We know through the teaching of Scripture that God is going to take the scales off their eyes. They're going to see and know. We know that in the last days men's hearts will grow cold. Hatred will fill the air. And we see that in so many places today. But we hold a treasure in our hearts. We are partakers of Christ. And that's the blessing that we have today that no man can take away. No one can snatch Christ out of our heart. Christ is not just outwardly our high priest who we come to for confession, but our faith, our salvation, consists in the possession of Christ. We possess Christ. He lives in our heart. We become partakers, having one life with him, having him as our own. He's part of us. Jesus is our life as he dwells and he works within us, making us fit for heaven as believers. Just as Joshua, God kept telling Joshua, be strong, be courageous, and I'll give you victory. You'll take this land. You'll cross the Jordan River. It's in flood, but you'll do all of this. Be faithful, be strong, and be courageous. Just as he became partaker of flesh and blood, Jesus did, entirely identified with man. Entirely identified with man, but still God. He became inseparably united with us in one life, allowing man to crucify him. Remember his prayer in Gethsemane. He went a little farther and he fell on his face and he prayed. He said, "Oh my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." He became a servant to his Father God in the flesh. "Not my will, but yours be done." Then he came to his disciples and he found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, "What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." There's a picture of man. There's a picture of man. Flesh, the spirit is willing, the flesh is weak. In Revelation 3:20, we read that passage there. Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door of your heart and I knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and dine with him and he with me." In other words, to embrace Jesus Christ is life everlasting. Life everlasting. Secondly, I want to say this morning, so surely when we become partakers with Christ, we become indissolubly identified with him. We are part of him. He became part of us when he took on flesh. When we have the Spirit of God within us, we become part of the Godhead. What a privileged position today. Jesus is known as the Son of Man, just as the true believer is one with Christ on the throne of glory. In Revelation 1, verses 5 and 6, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth. Firstborn from the dead means the firstborn in salvation. The first to open the gates of heaven, to return back, to open and prepare a place for all who would follow him in faith. The firstborn from the dead and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion for ever and ever. Amen. In Revelation chapter 1 verses 5 and 6. This is the reason God sent Jesus into the world. He sent Jesus into a world that was full of sin, in order to restore man to his rightful place in full fellowship with God. And we can only enter into that full fellowship with God as a partaker of Jesus Christ. And this restoration is only through Jesus Christ. There is no other way. So, as partakers of Christ, we have the sonship, the love and the Spirit of the Father. We are adopted into the household of God. Let us live worthy of this privilege. Verse 6, but Christ as son over his own house, whose house we are if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. We've got to hold our faith firm to our last breath. So the beginning of our confidence must be held fast as we begin with faith and stay with faith, not so much of works. We can't work our way into heaven. That's why Jesus came to this earth, because we cannot do it. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, by grace, the grace of God, you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. All our works come to naught apart from faith, and our works that we do in the name of Christ are the fruit of our faith in him. God works nothing but through Christ. We've got to come to Christ. He's the one that came to earth. He's the one that took on flesh. We've got to come back to God through him. It is this faith through which God works all our works for us and in us. Our perseverance will be the seal of our being partakers of Christ if we persevere to the end. By faith, at our conversion, we knew we had received Christ. And as we hold fast to him, Christ becomes more richer, he becomes more brighter and more effectual in our life. Persevering faith is our witness of him who lives within us. As a partaker of Christ, each day we have fellowship with Christ. He is my leader. He is the one that I must cling to every day of my life. Christ is my high priest today. I must let him lift me into God's presence today. I want to be a partaker of my Saviour, Jesus Christ. Christ is the living Son of God, and I must live in him. That's speaking for all of us here this morning. We must live in him. We are his house. You are the temple of God, we are told. I am his house, and to know him, I must yield myself to him. I must yield myself to him. Praise God that through Jesus and the conviction of the Holy Spirit upon my heart, upon your heart, upon every believer's heart, the conviction of the Holy Spirit upon the heart of every believer is that I know my Saviour, I am his, and he is mine. And I work the works of him who is in me. That people around us today will see that we belong to Jesus Christ. They'll see something different and something special in us today, because the world is in chaos around us today. God has become, money has become God today. And we see corruption everywhere. We see drugs everywhere. We see all those things that are related to money that destroy people's lives. I want to close this morning with a reading from John's Gospel. It's that great prayer of Jesus. I want to begin at verse 20. He prayed for himself that he'd bring glory to God on this earth. He prayed for his disciples who were with him all the time on this earth. And then he goes on, he said, I do not pray for these alone, speaking about the disciples, but I also pray for those who will, after I've gone, those who will believe in me through their words. Through their words. And that's why we have the Gospels before us today. That they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you. This is the spiritual partaking of Jesus Christ. And what is within us today as believers, we have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And we are the temple housing the triune God. That they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. Now, the world doesn't want to believe that today. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one, just as we are one. I in them, you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you gave me, may be with me where I am. Where's Jesus today? He's at the throne of grace. That they may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, Jesus said, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known you, known that you sent me. These are the ones who believe in Jesus Christ today. And I have declared, verse 26, I have declared to them your name and will declare it, that the love with which you love me, he's speaking to God the Father, the love which you love me may be in them and I in them. That's the mystery that the Christian has today that the world has got no idea of. And it makes us stand out. It makes us different. And the world doesn't like that either.